Next item on the agenda is discussion of draft advisory opinion 2010-19. The Google AO. Yeah, again, have Mr. Elias and Mr. Burke on representing the requester. And we have a presentation from Tony Buckley from the Office of General Counsel. And good morning. It still is morning, so good morning to you. And
good morning,
please proceed.
Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 1061, 1061A, and 1061B contain four draft advisory opinions that respond to a request submitted on behalf of Google Incorporated. Google is a for-profit corporation that creates programs and applications that allow persons to search for and collect information on the Internet. Google's AdWords program generates text ads in conjunction with keywords chosen by the advertiser. These text ads are limited to 95 characters, up to 25 for the headline, and up to 70 for two lines of text and a display URL. Google asks whether disclaimers are required on text ads generated on behalf of candidates and political committees through the AdWords program. Draft A and revised Draft A initially addressed Google's question as to whether the small items exception to the disclaimer provision applies to text ads, and conclude that it does not. These drafts then conclude that the disclaimer requirement is satisfied if the text ad displays the URL of the committee sponsor's website and the landing page contains a full disclaimer meeting the requirements of 11 CFR 110.11. Draft B concludes that the text ads qualify for the impracticable exception to the disclaimer requirement and that, therefore, disclaimers are not required to be appended to text ads generated through the AdWords program. Draft C concludes that under the circumstances described in the request, where the text ad displays the URL of the committee sponsor's website in the text ad, and the landing page contains a full disclaimer meeting the requirements of 11 CFR 110.11, the use of the AdWords program by candidates and political committees is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. The Commission received two comments on the request and two comments on drafts A and B. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Buckley. Any discussion amongst the commissioners or any questions for the requester? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Elias, for presenting us yet again with another interesting question. We lost my old friend, Commissioner Toner, former Commissioner Toner from the front row. I've always been a supporter of technological innovations, and I think we have to be willing to adapt to what happens with new technology. I fondly remember the Internet rulemaking that Commissioner, I regret he's not, I don't know where he disappeared to because, you know, he and I wrote that rule together and I was going to thank him for that again because I think that actually was perhaps our best work. The basis of the Internet regulation that we wrote was that public communications, when they include other forms of general public political advertising, shall not include communications over the Internet except for communications placed for a fee on another person's website. And those would be treated, yeah, I don't know where he went either. Those would be treated, I assume the gentleman who is sitting next to him is with him and will report back to him that I said nice things about him in his absence.
He's back.
There he is. See, now they are saying all these nice things about you.
I think she'd rather hear from you, it sounds like.
I was expecting the bailiff to say, "All rise."
Actually, we have all heard from former Commissioner Toner.
Having his portrait finalized for the lobby.
Hey, getting those portraits on the wall was a big deal. When we wrote the Internet regulation, we stipulated that the one thing we were going to regulate were communications placed for a fee on another person's website, and that those would be treated just like communications placed for a fee in a newspaper or in a broadcast ad or anywhere else and would require a disclaimer. And I think that regulation has been widely applauded. In fact, I can't remember another regulation that this commission has ever issued that was so popular as that Internet regulation. But I think that we do need to be careful while we are encouraging technological developments. I think we do need to be careful to be sure that we don't vitiate the regulation and and chip away at it to the point where, you know, we're sort of back to the regulation that we started out with that got overturned in court, which was a total exemption on everything over the Internet. So I think it's important to preserve those disclaimers. I think it's the Supreme Court has endorsed the notion, and Congress obviously has too, that it's important for people to know who's talking to them and where the message is coming from. And it's tempting to put this into the small items box or the impracticable box or some other box in the regulations because what you want to do is small, although perhaps not small in the same way that a pen is small. I mean, you can only make a pen so big. Otherwise, you won't be able to fit your hand around it. And, you know, if you say, well, you could just make the pen bigger and then you'd have more room for a disclaimer on it, you know, that's not really going to work for people when they actually want to write with it. So I think that, as I said, it's really important to preserve the notion that paid ads on the Internet do carry disclaimers. I think that the proposal that you've made, and again, we are only addressing the proposal of this requester. We've had a flurry of comments from former commissioners representing other folks in the tech community, and that's always welcomed. And those other entities may have slightly different concerns, and they may have slightly different business models. And if they have questions, we'd be happy to hear from them. And we know they're well advised and are able to submit their requests. But what this requester wants to do is to have these little ad words with the URL on the side, and then you click on that, and you get to the landing page, and there will be a full disclaimer. And I think that it's really key that disclaimer be there and be available so that people will know the source of the ad. So I was, you know, because I am concerned about chipping away at the regulation, I was unable to support putting this in the small items box or in the impractical box, and therefore I supported my first choice would be draft A, I think. That was our draft. I think we ended up on the A's. Yes, revised draft A. Excuse me. We made some amendments to it. We rushed it out before the Jewish holidays last week and had to make a few amendments to it. But I do appreciate the way the requester has constructed the request in such a way to promote disclosure and to make it possible for everybody who is reading these ads to see where they're coming from.
Further questions or discussion? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a tough one because we're into, to me, a new factual area, and that's the Internet. And I know the Internet's not new, but for purposes of this AO, it's new because this is a different kind of advertising than that which those in politics have used over the, you know, the past couple hundred years. To me, my process on this is I went online, I looked at Google, I had to remind myself where these ads were, and at best I take it, it's the three ads at the top of the page and the ones in the right-hand margin, and they're basically a fixed size. Everybody gets the same size ad. And, you know, the look and feel of the page is nice. You can read it. The font size is pretty good. You know, I noticed that I may need reading glasses soon, but I don't with the Google ads because they're symmetrical and that kind of thing. And it struck me that this is really no different than a bumper sticker type ad, and it seemed to me come within the small items. And I certainly hear Commissioner Weintraub on you know, the need for letting people know who is sponsoring the ad. I mean, that's the general rule. It's been upheld by the courts. And, you know, this commission has embraced that. One of the first AOs that we voted on was when Club for Growth came in and asked about truncated disclaimers or no disclaimers on their 15-second TV ads. And we all voted to say, no, you still need disclaimers. And that actually was part of the CU case that went up, and the court basically agreed with the FEC. So imagine that happened. This, to me, though, is different because this is more to me like a bumper sticker. I don't see it as a hard question because to me, and I've raised this in the hall with someone, I don't recall who, and I said, well, you know, it seems to me it's small and it's also impractical. And the response was, well, Google could just sort of change the size of the ad and make it bigger. And I thought, well, that's odd. The federal government's going to tell Google how to do their ads. You're laughing. That there's hope for you yet, Mr. Elias. That we're going to, you know, the FEC is empowered to tell Google how to do ads. I mean, Google is just really a middleman on this. I mean, the disclaimer obligation, to the extent there is one, is going to be on whoever is paying for the ad, the political committee, right? Now, Google wants to make sure they don't get in trouble and probably give a piece of paper to people who buy ads saying, sure, you can use our ads because somebody probably raised this issue somewhere and got everybody confused and said this may be an issue, and now here you are. The question I have for you, though, is this notion that it's not a small item like a bumper sticker would then mean you could make this fit somehow, or it's not. Maybe it is practical to put it on there. It seems to me you'd have to change your technology. My guess is Google's not inclined to do that, but any sense how tough that would be to do, business model-wise, financially, copyright law-wise, technology-wise? Take your pick.
I'm not a technology expert. I'm a marginal campaign finance lawyer at best.
That's not what Toner says.
I only feel bad he was out of the room for the laudatory comments that he received.
I tried. You left at the wrong moment.
To me, it is a confusing question. I mean, there are questions I come in where I think I think he's writing a book, Known Unknowns and Unknown Unknowns. And companies come in a lot of time for questions where they think it's a more of a known unknown. I suppose the same question was asked and could have been asked and was asked of Target Wireless, why they just don't make their text messages longer.
Right.
I mean, why not?
Why let that decision get in the way?
So in some respects, the commission ruled in Target Wireless that 160 characters was impractical or was a small item. Now I suppose the commission is deciding that perhaps 95 characters is not a small item or impractical.
I certainly don't feel empowered to make that kind of decision.
I'm not empowered on behalf of Mark.
Let me ask a question.
I'm sorry.
The question though is, and the wireless AO is a good example. I mean, to all of a sudden add characters to put a disclaimer, that's really not practical for Google, unless they want to spend a lot of money completely redoing their site. And it's a valuable, I mean, my guess is you probably copyright it, the actual, you know, screenshot and how it looks. And if somebody came up with a site that looked remarkably similar, even substantially similar, to put it in copyright, you'd probably dig off those old look and feel cases that probably really aren't good law anymore for video games, but probably throw it on the Google page. It seems to me that that's just not practical to go with the full disclaimer, right? I mean, can you sort of help flesh out factually why that is, other than saying, well, we all know it's not easy to do?
If that is a question, I would have to take it back to the company to address the specifics of the technology. I think it's fair to say, though, that what they sell is a commercial product, that this is what they sell, and, you know, why they don't sell it differently, you know, why don't they make bigger cars or smaller cars or cars with more features or fewer features?
That's not really a good analogy because the government tells cars manufacturers all the stuff they got to do, right? But in this case, it's a private company that made a business decision on how they want to sell advertising, and it's really not up to us to sort of do that. So moving on, next question. There's a notion floating around that, well, if the URL kind of says who it is, and if you click on it and it goes to a political committee page and they have a disclaimer, well, that's cool, that'll work, right? That's not a problem. Seems to be where that's coming from. Does that work for your client in this case?
I don't know that I've ever been in this position before. We support both draft A and draft B and would actually like to see a unified decision that permits either approach.
Let me ask you this then. The idea that you go to another page, it has a disclaimer. Now, this is I'm kind of sucker punching you on this one because this is a different client of yours. But let's say the DSCC has a Google ad and has a link to your Facebook page, right? Which actually happens to be here, and there's no disclaimer on your Facebook page because Facebook doesn't have disclaimers. It's kind of funny because it says you have 138,459 people like this. That's not a lot of people.
Sounds like a lot of people to me.
If you read the newspapers, that sounds like a lot of people, I guess, compared to other things. But you know, you don't have a disclaimer on this. So even though it you say, well, there'll be a disclaimer, it'll cure it. What if you send people to a page that doesn't have a disclaimer, you're representing Google here today. Google is fine with either, but as a practical matter, how's this going to work out?
Just to be clear, Google's preference is not either; it's both. When I say either, it is that you can satisfy that what this commission did right in the internet rulemaking was not try to guess what the future technology is, but rather let the technology develop. And I worry a little bit about the unintended consequences of telling Google that it is only draft A or only draft B. It strikes me that you can say you can satisfy the requirements either that it's a small item, or, and therefore you don't need a disclaimer, or by having the link to a website. And that will achieve a result that will benefit multiple technologies, so that you don't have someone who comes in at 97 characters next and 106 characters after that and 172 characters. They can say, you know what, we'll just link to a website. And for Google, that feels comfortable at 95 characters, that their technology doesn't permit further expansion, they'll say it's a small item. It seems to me that I may be more liberal, undoubtedly, than you are.
Capital L, yes.
But I'm suggesting that it seems to me that the commission, the best thing for the commission to do with having floated these two alternatives is to actually find either approach permissible.
Just my final point to go back to the small items, my sales pitch on that. My sense is when that exception was put in, it also wasn't particularly practical to put disclaimers on bumper stickers because of the ink used and the size, right? And the ink would bleed. Remember the old bumper stickers? And you'd try to do, the union bug, and it would end up being just a mush of white ink on the blue background. But you still put the union bug on it because the union shop printed the bumper stickers, or if you didn't use union shop, it saved you that squish of whatever that is. But you really couldn't put the paid for by and all that kind of stuff. Nowadays, you kind of can, right? Desktop publishing, the ink's better, it's a lot crisper. You actually could. I mean, I've actually seen people put disclaimers on T-shirts and hats and mugs. And some folks do it to make a political statement, right? There's a guy, saw a TV ad the other day where a guy has a stand by your ad saying this is, the government mandated incumbent protection disclaimer. And I stand by this ad. Not illegal to do that, but that's he's kind of making that his stand, and that's his prerogative, I guess. But to me, just because you can force a disclaimer doesn't necessarily mean you have to, because in this context, is there a slippery slope that we have to worry about if on Google? Now, another web browser comes up with a different kind of ad, that may be a different question. But, we're dealing with Google ads. We know what Google ads are, a certain size. It's you basically have one or two sentences saying, so-and-so's for change. Click here for more information. It's very much a bumper sticker style hit and run. There's not a lot of content. There's not a lot of development of issues, nor can there be. It's a quick kind of thing. And what I don't know is there a concern that you're going to get fake Google ads or weird negative ads or things that really you need that voters would want to know who it is, because this one or two sentences is really going to persuade them to pull the lever for or against somebody as opposed to clicking the link and figuring out more information. Seems to you understand where I'm going with this is if the rationale for a disclaimer is to allow voters and the public to know who's paying for things, so they can weight the value of the message and all this kind of stuff. Is this really the kind of message that's carrying us so much heft that we have to jump through 50 hoops to make sure there's a disclaimer on it? I don't think so. I think it's more of a bumper sticker where it's a quick splash, and if someone is really wants to be persuaded, they're going to click and find out what's going on anyway and find out who the source is and that sort of thing. So I'm not really sure if there's a slippery slope here if we don't require some sort of disclaimer or the fallback of, well, if the page you go to has a disclaimer, which is beyond Google's control, right? If you click through to a committee and they don't have a disclaimer requirement, is that a violation by Google? I don't think so, but I'd be curious to know if others think it is. Do you see any downside? And actually, you really argue the opposite side of the proposition. Any downside here that could lead to mischief or frustration of disclosure and disclaimers? If we don't go whole hog here.
Look, I think that this commission took great pride under the leadership of Commissioner Weintraub and Chairman Toner, Commissioner Toner at the time.
Been well established here today.
Joining that chorus in finding that the internet is a democratizing instrument in American politics. It allows smaller players to have more voice. It takes money out of 30-second ads and allows smaller campaigns to do more to reach voters. It is a more democratic way of bringing more people into the process. It is a societal good, and it is something that the commission has found to be a good thing for politics, and something that ought not to be the source of strangling regulation. That, I think, is the history of where the commission's been. I think that Target Wireless fit into that in seeing an emerging new technology that campaigns would use. And I think in some respects, you know, campaigns, you give one example, campaigns are already using Facebook. They're already using Twitter. They're already using Google. They're already using Yahoo. And I guess I would caution the unintended consequence of something that the commission might do that is seen as halting that forward, which is why I really think that there is an opportunity for all sides of this, rather than adopting what is draft C, which I think is viewed as the consensus draft, which is to pare down lowest common denominator. I would actually urge you consensus draft the other way and say, you know what, you're right. We can actually put disclaimers on pens. I get disclaimers with pens. I get pens with disclaimers all the time. I get buttons with disclaimers all the time. It's not impractical.
You can make a bigger bumper sticker. It would cover
bumper
up the whole back
have,
of your car. Minivans
have
now. You can have a whole sort of thing.
The fact is, it's not a technological limitation that excludes those things. The idea is that there's a nature. There's something in the nature of a small item or where it's impractical, not in a purely technological sense, because you could print small on a pen, but rather it's the kind of thing that we don't think, where we don't think a disclaimer is necessary. I think the commission took a sensible position in Target Wireless, where I might point out there were two drafts, and the commission rejected a very similar situation. The commission actually rejected the more restrictive draft and went with the more permissive, and I think it's only helped the internet. It has only helped the democratization of politics on the internet. We see more and more spending on, whether it's Google or Yahoo or Facebook or Twitter or any, we see more and more campaigns spending more and more there, and that is a societal good. It poses no risk to the campaign finance system, and it's something this commission has made a hallmark of of them in the past. So, you know, for what it's worth, the answer to your question, Commissioner, is there a slippery slope? I fear there is, and I fear that no one in this room is going to necessarily know what that next technology is, and I'd hate for it to go off, not be able to get born because of what was seen as...
So I take it you're not a fan of draft C?
Look,
because that kind of goes...
I leave draft... Am I a fan of draft C? I mean, compared to what? You know, compared to what? I think the commission ought to take the same approach it has taken in the past. And I think a disclaimer on a website ought to be something that for technologies that use that, where maybe there's longer characters, they ought to see that and say, okay, this is a way we can meet the disclaimer requirement. I think for folks that are at smaller number of characters, they ought to be able to say, you know what, we're safe under the small item exception.
Mr. Chairman, just for two points, I want to note for the record that I think some folks have filed some ex parte notices on this. Mr. Toner did call a bunch of us. I didn't talk to him, so I've not filed an ex parte notice, but I want the record to reflect why I didn't file one. We actually didn't talk. I called you back after hours and apologized for the late call, but I'm sure it was regarding your comments because he's here. He had filed comments on behalf of Facebook. And just to end on a lighter note, the DSCC page here actually has some ads in the right-hand margin. I'm not making this up. He has an ad here for the Cato Institute. balancing liberty and security here on the DSCC page. But it says here experts from the ACLU and Cato Institute discuss how to balance individual liberties with security in this age of terrorism. So there's the DSCC page with advertisements from Cato. And my understanding is when you do an ad on Facebook, it usually links to your own Facebook page. So although we want to answer the question here today for Google, we could inadvertently sort of suffocate the next guy, essentially a competitor. I don't really, Facebook's not really a competitor to Google, I guess. Unless Google wants to get into that area, then they would be. it gets tricky. And to me, this is your response to my question. I thought was very good, and you kind of get the gist of it, which is like a bumper sticker is a different nature of speech, right? It's a different. This is a different creature than what we're used to, and how things are on the internet is to me more like a bumper sticker than a TV ad. So for me, I don't see this as a big deal. I see it as a bigger deal that we get in the way of potential development of more technologies, because ultimately the internet is really the best way to reach individual voters nowadays, right? TV ads have kind of lost their luster. The 30-second splash, right? People DVR it, they fast forward through this stuff. And internet seems to be more the way to go. You got to balance that though with what the general proposition is, which is disclosure. But in this case, I think we run the risk of cutting too tight if we're not careful. And I leave it with that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I go back to some of our earlier discussions about what we're doing here today, which is answering a specific question from a specific requester. And I hear what you're saying about, you know, what other people might want to do, but those are other people. This isn't a rulemaking. If we were going to do another, I'm not saying that might not be, you know, maybe every couple of years we ought to do a new rulemaking. I see former Commissioner Toner wincing in the background. No, that was a great rulemaking. We got really interesting comments on that. You know, maybe every couple of years we ought to do a rulemaking where we just explore technology and new developments in politics. But that's not what we're doing here today. What you've come in with is a proposal, and you said, you know, we're going to You know, in answer to my colleague's question about are you in trouble if somebody else doesn't have a disclaimer, I don't think the answer to that is yes. I mean, maybe that person ought to be here making the request. Maybe you're the wrong, your client is the wrong requester for...
Would you like me to switch with Toner?
Maybe. I'm not sure that he's the... No, I think it's the people who advertise that really are the appropriate requesters for this kind of advice. They want to know what they can do. I think, you know, for Google, it's I have to say that I might be a little bit off my game this morning. I'm a little tired because as I was going through this last night, I got a little distracted. I did a few Google searches. I checked my Facebook page. It's very distracting. But
you haven't friended me.
Are you on Facebook?
Of course, I'm on Facebook.
I he's my friend.
Toner's my friend. You on Facebook?
What?
Have you friended me?
Yeah.
You have?
I think so.
You don't
We're
even
friends?
Know who your
I
friends
so.
Are.
No, I have so many. It's Facebook. I mean, I don't even police my own Facebook page, let alone his.
Toner won't friend me.
Actually, in case you're going to send me that friend request later, Commissioner, let me just warn you that I tend not to friend people that I do business with. It's more of a personal platform. With a few, you know, just a few.
No, no.
Buckley's looking at me like, what's going to happen now? Wow. Okay.
I know other people who do that too. But in any event, you know, it's a fun medium. Got very distracted. I told you I was distracted today. You know, you've come in with a request, and your request stipulates that this business model that, you know, Google obviously wants to be able to tell people, hey, you know, we check with the FEC and you're okay if you do this, involves having a landing page with a full disclaimer. That is a great business plan. That's a great model from my perspective. I think I'm a little bit more concerned than my colleague about making sure that we have these disclaimers to the greatest extent possible. I mean, you know, bumper stickers, yeah, I guess you can put them on bumper stickers, but, you know, maybe it'll cause car accidents if people have to get that close to the car in front of them to see what the disclaimer says. As it is, you see a lot of things where you see people creeping up on somebody else's bumper saying, what does that bumper sticker say? That's really intriguing when the print gets too fine. But, you know, this is not a rulemaking. To go back to my real point here, this isn't a rulemaking. We're not here to provide protection to a bunch of other folks out there that might have very good ideas about how to move forward and how to develop new ways of distributing political information. And when those people come in and ask us for a question, you know, that presents, you know, at some point we may have to confront that actual question, well, what happens if for some reason there's no way to provide the disclaimer and all you've got is 95 characters? Does that mean, you know, you are you inside the box? Are you outside the box? Can you use the small items or not? I mean, we don't actually have to confront that today. I understand your desire for, you know, the greater community to have an AO that says, yeah, you can do this, you can do that, you can do the other thing. But you are doing one particular thing. Your request posits a particular scenario, which those of us who are very concerned that we have the greatest possible disclosure of who's funding all kinds of ads, you know, you have satisfied us, and Google's plan has satisfied us, and we are happy. I recognize that it's the wording is kind of funny on the draft C, but the point of it is to say, yes, this plan works. People who follow this plan and have adequate disclaimers on the landing page, they're going to be okay. And the next one who comes along and wants to do something slightly different and wants to make a case for why they can't do the landing page and they can't do the disclaimer and why it's impracticable for them or why it's just not going to work, you know, we'll just have to confront that one when it comes up. But I do think there's a, you know, we have to acknowledge the difference between an AO request and a rulemaking. We, you know, in a rulemaking, we could, you know, bring in a bunch of witnesses, and then we could have, you know, Michael Turner come up at the witness table, and maybe Dave Mason. We had a lot of former commissioners weighing in on this one, and we get a wider range of information. Now we have one particular proposal in front of us, and that's what we are ruling on. And I think that, I without prejudging, I think that my impression is that pretty much everybody is comfortable with the plan that you have proposed and is willing to, you know, give you an opinion that provides that comfort.
Can we take just a brief 2-minute recess? Let's come back in. The open meeting is back in order. Commissioner Hunter.
Yes, one quick question, Mr. Elias. In one of the, and I have to say for the record that I did file an ex parte communication that I had with Mr. Toner yesterday, and we talked about the comment he submitted on September 21st. I subsequently ran into him in the hallway a few minutes ago, just by coincidence, and he said that he didn't see draft C in before he got here, so he didn't have any comment to respond to draft C. And when I talked to him yesterday, I didn't tell him about draft C because there was no draft C. So that's a long way of saying that I would like to get public comment on draft C before I vote for it. But before, I also have a question for you, Mr. Elias, about the comments that Mr. Toner filed, and it follows up a little bit on what my colleague, Commissioner McGann, was talking about. What about the idea that the URLs that are often placed within these ads are often misleading? Because they don't accurately reflect who's paying for the ad.
Well, I think, is this on? Can you hear me? Yeah,
yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I couldn't tell if the microphone was on. In terms of the two points, one is the public comment, I think, you know, probably makes sense. Because, like I said, I didn't see draft C before this morning either. I think that, you know, as talking about transparency on the internet, that probably would make sense if the commission needs to go there, as opposed to adopting another approach. What the structure of our opinion did was ask the small items question. Okay, the commission had already said 160 characters are small items. We asked whether 95 characters were small items, being smaller than 160. We then asked not in the alternative in the traditional sense of we're fine with, you know, A is, you know, we'll do A, we'll do B, but rather if it's not A, if it's not that, if it's not small items, then if we put, if we have these other requirements, does that meet the law? And for the user. And the fact is Google AdWords include the URL. So that's a fact. I mean, that's just a fact. That's a fact whether the commission rules small items. It's a fact whether the commission adopts what was our alternative to. It's a fact whether the commission adopts Mr. Toner's alternative to or 2A, whatever you would call it. I mean, the fact is the way Google AdWords work is that it has that URL, and it has it because it gives the user a sense of where they're going before they get there. It's another measure of transparency in the internet experience. So, from our standpoint, that's something we will do. That's something Google will do. Whether it's a dispositive fact, an important fact or not, I understand Mr. Toner's position that it shouldn't be a determining fact. But we posited it as if you read our opinion, it is quite descriptive. We have tried to go out of our way to describe to you all the different ways that the ads present and what the technology, how the technology operates, how the purchase process operates. And one of the facts is that we have a disclaimer in the name. I do think that the commission ought to decide what it's going to do with Target Wireless if it doesn't go small items, because that strikes me. I don't know if 160 characters is small or impractical, and 95 characters isn't small and impractical. I think that's going to be a challenge.
Commissioner Walther.
Well, I guess we're going to put this off. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But I wanted to disclose the fact that I talked to Mr. Toner yesterday. I never refused to take his call, and he did want to raise the issue with respect to whether or not if there was an URL on there, it should not be misleading, and it should really be represented by the sponsor of the ad. I think I told him I agree with that, and we have a couple drafts there. Here, if we both voted 3-3 on each one, you'd have your answer in terms of going ahead. And I'm not sure. I think we'll put it off, as I understand it, and look to see if there's a draft C, but... I just wanted to disclose the fact that I talked to Mr. Toner and what we talked about, and the fact that I said that I think that's true. If we're going to have any URL in there, and I think Google made it quite clear it intended to do just that. So I think you have an answer within the confines of the letter, one way or the other. I'm not too sure there'll be nuances on this point on how he reached the answer.
Mr. Lyons.
May I just offer a clarifying point? From Google's standpoint, there is the only way a URL is misleading is if it's the wrong URL. So right. Google is going to continue to put the URL of the site that you are clicking to. That is not, from an internet standpoint, that is not misleading. That's actually truthful. It's telling you this is the site you're going to go to. So I don't want the commission to be misled about and as it uses the term misleading. If you click a site that says, Smith Socks, right? That Smith Socks may be owned by some party committee or some other committee, but the URL is going to still be www.smithsocks.com, and that's not misleading because that is in fact where they're going, even if it is paid for by another.
Regardless of whether one thinks of Smith. Same point I made in the last AO when we, sometimes these fallback drafts. I mean, it's good to have it drafted, but again, without the public's ability to sort of see how we think, what the questions we're going to ask, that kind of thing, it's tough to really have a meaningful debate without public input. I agree with Commissioner Hunter that I would like to let folks comment on draft C. And not just Facebook, right? There's other folks in the room who may want to weigh in on this. Maybe if they don't weigh in, that says they don't think it's that big a deal. But this is important because these little AOs lead to bigger things. And if we don't think this through now, we have to make sure we'll pay the price later. Draft C to me gives you nothing. It creates the appearance that the commission agreed on something and entered an AO, and it avoids the sort of, put it in scare quotes, the deadlock and all that kind of thing. But all that's a a natural part of the process that an agency has to go through. And there's nothing wrong with the commission train wrecking a bunch of times on votes until they find the common ground. That's how it's supposed to work. And folks can write in the newspaper the same story they always write about it. And at this point, I don't care. Never did. Some people did. Some people used to. Who cares? We got to get the right answer. C is not the right answer because, although it seems to state the obvious, right, that your text ads are going to display the URL, okay, but it also says the landing page contains a full disclaimer meeting the requirements of 11 CFR 110.11. Therefore, you're okay. Google has no clue whether or not the landing page complies with 11 CFR 110.11. Is that correct, Mr. Elias?
I'm sorry. I was reading C.
Yeah, well, it is. That's part of the problem is you haven't had a really chance to read it until you're sitting here.
Right.
And now we get to put you on the spot. But if you turn to page 3,
yes.
Okay, conclusion, right? It says the commission concludes that under the circumstances described in the request, the alternative proposed by the requester, open paren, whether the text ad displays the URL of the committee sponsor's website in the text ad, and the landing page contains a full disclaimer meeting the requirements of 11 CFR 110.11, is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. Certainly, you don't violate the law if you have all that. But what I don't know, I understand you know that the URL is going to be there because Google controls the content of the Google ad. But whether or not the landing page complies with 11 CFR 110.11, how's Google know that? You don't.
I mean, that would be something we would leave to the user.
You know, right.
To the.
So let's say your customer gives you a URL for a page that doesn't comply. The AO doesn't give you protection. It's a complete symbolic piece of paper that doesn't really give you the protection because it's a fact that's really not within your control. And what if that fact's different and you don't have the protection of an AO? To me, this is why we need a little bit of comment on this idea because this could be one of these fallback drafts that ends up being something that those who vote for it don't really think of at the time, but then down the road it takes on a life of its own and another era of election law. So I agree with Commissioner Hunter that I can't support draft C today, maybe down the road, depending on what this really means, but right now is not the time to do this this way. Thank you.
Mr. Lash, you'd mentioned that you'd be willing to allow this to be held over to consider comments may come in regarding draft C. I believe that the 60-day period on your request expires on October 4th, and I believe the next scheduled meeting of the commission is on October 7th. So before we could actually hold it over, we would need to seek your consent to hold it over those additional 3 days, to extend that period for 3 days.
I strongly suspect that that's not a problem and it will be my recommendation, but I actually need to check with the client just to ensure that that's the case.
Okay. Would it be worthwhile to take just a brief recess so you can do that, just so that we can all have Vice Chair.
Sorry, this was related to what Commissioner McGann was talking about. And I'm certainly not opposed to providing additional opportunity for comment on draft C, but draft C repeats what's in the request. On page 7, the request says the commission should consider the requirement satisfied if the text ad displays the URL, the sponsoring committee's website, and the landing page contains a full section 110.11 disclaimer. So I think that the goal of draft C is to state your request is fine in whatever, you know, non-legal phrasing that is. So I don't think it's imposing anything new on what the requester is asking. In fact, it is, you know, following, and then there's a long discussion of what the full 110.11 disclaimer is. It's actually part of the request. So I don't think that this is a leap beyond what the requester is asking. And I think my goal is always to, whenever possible, provide an answer to the requester. It may not be the full answer the requester is looking for, but to the extent there is some set of 4 votes for some answer to the requester, I think that's what we should be doing. And that, I think, was, you know, I think the appropriate motivation behind draft C. And it is unfortunate that it came out so late, and I think there have been a lot of efforts to try to get things out earlier. So I think we should continue to work on that, and that's on the ninth floor of trying to make sure that we can provide the public with sufficient notice. I think it's an important part that sometimes, frankly, we're not very good at. So providing additional time, if the requester's going to provide us with some additional days, I think is a fine idea.
Let's take a break. Oh, wow.
Chairman, do we have a consensus then? We will put it over if there is consent given.
Yes. Okay. That's if we get the extension, then this matter will be held over. So let's take a brief recess. The open meeting is back in session. Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you for checking with your client, Mr. Elias, and to my colleagues for your indulgence in this endeavor. I just wanted to make one further point. While I think it's perfectly within our authority to answer just the narrow question that the requester asks, and I think you can easily read the statute just to read exactly that way, I think you also we should also consider that, and Commissioner McGinn sort of talked about this earlier, that despite what we think when we're voting for it, the regulated community, the public out there, is interpreting this and trying to act within the four corners of an advisory opinion. Maybe they don't want to ask for an advisory opinion, maybe they don't have time, but an advisory opinion under 437F is a request concerning the application of the Act. Yes, it's to a specific request, but that the answer to that request has broad ramifications beyond just what the requester is asking. And the first thing that comes to mind is our lovely little candidate solicitation rule that we just voted out a month or two ago, is that? Does it bring back good memories? Because as we all remember, we spent hours and hours talking about the Cantor line of AOs. And you know, everything that we did in that rulemaking was sort of about what did this AO say, what did that AO say. You know, one of the draft alternatives that went out was based completely on the Cantor line of AOs. You know, regardless of the fact that RGA asked for one of those and other people asked for different ones, everybody in the whole political world was operating under those AOs. Ask John McCain. I mean, someone filed a MER against him because of those AOs. He never asked a question about it, as far as I know, but he ended up, you know, going through a long, lengthy MER process, two probable cause hearings, and I don't recall anybody ever saying, oh, those AOs don't matter to you because you didn't ask the question. So anyway, his conduct didn't arguably fall within the letter of the AOs, but I don't think his conduct was against the law as we voted. Anyway, it's a long way of saying that the AOs do have broader ramifications than just what the requester is asking. Thank you.
From what I understand, we're still waiting to hear back from...
Which we are, which is why I'm not being rude. I'm actually sitting with my BlackBerry here because okay. I'm hoping to...
Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of points, and you know, maybe I don't know. I think it might make sense for us to move on and
yes.
deal with another AO while we wait for the word back from our requester. Yes and no. I mean, you know, we've had interesting debates as to whether AOs have precedential value and whether MERS have precedential value, and you know, people's views on that tend to change depending on whether they want to rely on those AOs or not. As every AO states right in it, and as the statute states, it's a response to a specific transaction. It's not about general application of the law. It's about a specific transaction, and it says our boilerplate language, which we changed and made more elaborate when this group of commissioners started working together, says, although I think this has been there for a long time, any person involved in any specific transaction or activity which is indistinguishable in all material aspects from the transaction or activity with respect to which this advisory opinion is rendered may rely on this advisory opinion. And I think that's important because we want to get public comment, because we don't want to be, you know, off there, you know, making broad statements without having the full benefit of public comment. And I am, you know, if my colleagues want more public comment, I'm happy to do that. We adopted a directive a couple of years ago that said we were going to get our drafts out a week in advance of the meeting. We almost never comply with that. And I cannot resist pointing out this is the exact opposite of what was argued earlier, that we shouldn't come to the table with drafts already written. We should have a discussion at the table and figure out what we're going to do there in the public eye. You know, if we don't have drafts, we can't put them out for comment. So, you know, we got to have drafts. And, you know, I'm just a little bit I'm happy to put it out for more comment and see if we get more comment. I'm a little bit frustrated on behalf of this requester. I was hoping we were going to be able to answer his question today, because I thought we had a way of actually saying yes, which is usually a good answer for people. They like to generally hear yes, even if it's not, you know, the broadest possible yes, or the yes that will also answer all of the commenters' questions, or, you know, anybody else who might come along later. But hopefully we'll be able to give him an answer at some point.
Okay. Well, let's, Commissioner Hunter.
Okay, one last little point is, while I also think it's important to get comments on draft C, I am going to make another run at my colleagues to get a draft D. I'm not saying it's going to be successful, but I'm going to make a run. Thank you.
Whoa, draft D, I can't wait.
What we'll do is, once Mr. Elias hears back from his client, we'll move on to the next matter, and then we'll pick this one back up once that one's resolved. Okay. Well, if we still have Mr. Elias and Mr. Burkhan here, we will double back to consideration of the Google AO.
I'm still just awaiting an answer, so perhaps I should just follow up with the staff when it comes in. Obviously, the company's on the West Coast and trying to get it resolved.
Okay. Well, what we'll do is we'll hold this one over, and pending the answer from your client, we'll make the appropriate course correction as necessary once we hear back from you, Mr. Elias.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Palmer, do we have any management or administrative matters to discuss?
Mr. Chairman, there are none.
All right. Meeting is adjourned.